Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I've been playing this game. It's super fun. It's addicting. It's a mobile puzzle game called Best Fiends. And Best Fiends, you solve puzzles and collect tons of cute characters that you level up to defeat the slugs. Best Fiends updates the game all the time. There's always something new and exciting to try. Play by yourself or connect with your friends or family. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download Best Fiends for free. Best Fiends, like friends without the R. Best Fiends. Trust me, you'll be addicted too.
All right.
The Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
Oh, man. We're up here in a studio. I'm in Canada and everybody's really nice. They're even nice when they're mean. So we came in. And I came in this morning and there was a girl. She was about to record an interview in the studio that we're working out of. And obviously she didn't know we were coming, but we had reserved the studio, what, 2-3 weeks ago, Mike? Mm-hmm. And so the guy goes, hey, yeah, we've reserved the studio. She was pissed, right? And she was like, ugh, well, it's really nice to meet you guys anyway. And then she walked out. And I was like, man.
That's it?
That's
kind of
cool.
They're kind when they're angry. They recycle like crazy up here. They don't like you printing paper off. They say a boot instead of a bout.
I like that.
I kind of think that's funny. A boot.
A boot. Well, what a boot.
And a little bit of that, I know because I dated a Canadian for a while, but it's just a very warm, like I want to come back.
Hey, is it cold?
No, not really. What is it, 55 or so? Yeah. Apparently they had a big ice storm up here. But again, I never thought I would be in Canada. Now I love being here. Did you guys see what Lindsay wrote on my Twitter?
No.
Oh, no.
What'd she say?
What did she
say?
Oh, no.
Well, I didn't even see it. I went to bed last night and then I woke up and saw it. But it was like, I said, hey, people in Canada are really nice. And she writes, about time. Something like that.
Dang.
She was being
Man,
funny.
She's being passive aggressive.
Yeah, funny, but also like.
No. Well, let me see how many likes it has. Hold on. It has like 1,000 likes.
I'm going to go over there and like it too. Let me give it
1,001.
Like
it.
1,002. I wrote, the people in Canada are so nice. All of them. Every person here. What's happening up here? And she wrote, about time.
Man.
Whatever. It's all love, right?
Are you going to go see your family?
Yeah, now that you're there.
Canada is not like Nashville, guys. It's not a town.
Oh, it's not right down the road?
No, no. Basically, I'm in between New York City and Detroit, okay?
Okay.
And her town, Calgary, is over the western part of Montana, like Montana and like Washington State.
Oh, okay, okay. So it's far.
Yeah. Okay. I can't just, you know, swing by.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I'm leaving. I'm actually going to hop on a plane in a minute and fly down to Beaumont, Texas. Well, I guess I'm flying to Houston. Mm-hmm. Fly to Houston and drive to Beaumont, then to New Orleans, drive to New Orleans, and then I haven't been home in a while, but hey, got to eat, right?
Heck yeah, got to hit Bourbon Street.
Bobby won't hit Bourbon Street.
He may drive by it.
Remember, maybe. Bones, we did that one time. We tried to get something to eat, but...
We accidentally drove down it.
We did, like,
because
idiots.
Justin the suit was such a goober. hey, buddies, why don't we take a left here on Bourbon Street?
We were going to go eat at some restaurant.
And it was... It took us 30 minutes to get down one block because he drove right to the people.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's what's up. Hey, Morgan, number two.
What up?
I didn't get to this segment, but I think it's interesting. I wish I would have had time to get to it. But we were going to do a What Do 24-Year-Olds Care about Tristan Thompson. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Here, hey, Ray, will you hit that? And let's just do it like we were doing it during the show. What Do
24-Year-Olds Care About? Well, Tristan Thompson justified his cheating on Khloe Kardashian by saying he felt pressure to not refuse women because it's an unspoken rule in the NBA that players hook up with groupies on the road.
What?
That's amazing. He felt pressure to not turn down women.
This guy.
Hey, guys, he's being honest.
No, he's not. I mean, I think it's the greatest BS excuse ever. Of all the excuses I've ever heard, that's the greatest because it's so ridiculous. He felt pressure, and he had their hearts in mind. These groupies.
Yeah, he did. And he just threw everyone else in the NBA under the bus. Everyone does it, guys. Come on.
Amy, how do you feel about that? You got a little cough out there?
I was coughing.
Dirty cough.
Go ahead.
It's pretty dirty right now. I feel like he's trying to say, do you think he has peer pressure or he feel bad for these girls if he doesn't give in?
I think he's saying both. But even then, you get peer pressure into everything. That doesn't mean you should cheat on your...
Like my mom used to say, if all your friends jump off a bridge, does that mean you're gonna...
Well, probably, because that's not hurting anybody else. That seems fun.
Oh. Well, that's just an old saying.
Well, yeah, I thought that was crazy.
But Khloe and Tristan's doing good now? They're like,
I think they're back together.
They're
back together. High school warns parents they could be fined more than $1,000 for cheering at graduation.
Yeah, that's so crazy. But I do get that, you know, you gotta keep the party going.
We should volunteer to pay someone's fine if they get in trouble for this. We should encourage the cheering. The show.
You got a mouse in your pocket? Because I ain't paying for crap like that.
I mean, that is the dumbest thing ever. You can't cheer for your kid. Your kid worked 18 years to get to this.
18 years.
And you're not allowed to cheer for them? Get out of here.
I think it's just a timing thing. If everybody cheers, then it goes on and on and on.
Sorry.
So Greenville High School in South Carolina warned family members not to call out, cheer, whistle, or applaud, or risk a fine. The fine is $1,030. The warning was issued to students during a slideshow played at an assembly. School district officials said because the ceremony is held at Bon Secours Wellness Arena and it's a publicly sanctioned event, police can issue fines if it goes over time or if it is too loud, apparently.
Okay, they said cheers, whistles, or applause. They didn't say anything about an air horn. They didn't say no air horn. So,
okay, so my only thing to say is if this is a rule... and you don't like the rule, then don't go to the graduation.
Why take the fun out of graduation? It's a celebration. That's the whole point.
But if they can't get the graduation done in a certain time and let every single graduate have their moment where they get their name read aloud, where everybody can hear them, and then I get it. You can't have people cheering, making it 3 hours long if you only have 2 hours and 30 minutes. Yes, the easy thing to say is let people cheer, because who doesn't want people cheering?
Yeah.
But if it's actually causing the graduation to not be held in the right amount of time before they have to get out, it makes sense.
And then when it's over, like, throw the biggest
cheer
party ever.
But... get in their face and scream at them, you're the best! Ah! Ugh. I mean, on the surface, the easy thing to go is that's ridiculous.
You know what? It is sad, though, when, like, some people get really big cheers and then some people get nothing.
Well, yeah.
That's true. You need more family members.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of life, though.
Okay. I didn't have any family members at my graduation.
I was just about to ask you that. Like, Bobby, I mean...
Yeah, nobody really cheered for me, but that's all right. I still wore... So, my high school graduation, my school was so small that I graduated with 45 kids, I think, in my senior year. And so it was all right because it was so small. Everybody just kind of cheered for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in our own auditorium. It wasn't a big deal. In college, I'm not sure if my mom came to my high school graduation, but she did come to my college graduation, which was a big deal for me. And so my mom came. My mom and my sister were there. But that was a big deal. But yeah, I guess so too. Like when I played ball, I couldn't hear people in the crowd. You can't hear people if you're playing ball because you're so in the moment. I don't remember listening and being able to hear cheers or not, really.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
Oh, my cheers were loud.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I didn't care. Maybe I was just so excited as the first person to graduate high school and college that I was like, my own cheer is my freaking degree. I grabbed it and yelled. In your face. You?
And they fined you for yelling.
Yeah, in your face, society. anyway, we got to start the show today because I got anything you want to say before we get going here?
Nah, man. I mean, just happy it's Friday.
Nah, man.
Did you see, Amy, because I was thinking about you, they have to close the Brooklyn Bridge every time El Chapo goes to court?
Yes, I saw that. And I mean, it's so crazy. And he's being held in Manhattan. Really, he wants to get tried there. I'm like, oh, man.
Every time the notorious drug lord El Chapo appears in court, the Brooklyn Bridge is shut down to allow the massive police motorcade that transports him.
Joaquin Guzman.
That's right. Or the show Amy watches all the time, El Chapo.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, they have to shut down the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah. I mean, no, I wouldn't be surprised if he even escaped from American prison. There's so much money
involved.
Obviously,
that's a fear because of the protocol they have to go to every time he has to show up at court.
Yep. That's crazy. Well, here. Ooh, this is the kind of love I need, by the way. A woman's accused of sending a guy 65,000 text messages.
That's too many. That's too many.
That's overboard, I think.
When did it become overboard?
64,999.
Well, I read that she did, like 500 a day?
Yeah, 500 text messages a day.
Man, that's crazy.
You got a lot of time on your hand. You're not getting
and one
nap
of them,
if you're doing that.
She states, don't ever try to leave me. I'll kill you.
Whoa. That's not good.
But she says, and I don't want to be a murderer.
Oh, so you're going to make me a murderer.
Yeah, it's on him.
Your fault.
It's like Tristan Thompson. Yeah.
Dang.
She also said that she wanted to wear his body parts and bathe in his blood.
No, oh, well, cool. She didn't.
That's the kind of love I need.
Not
you
sure.
Want to,
that's
you want someone
accurate.
To love you so much.
Yes, so much that they'll wear my skin.
And bathe in your blood?
We just need to be proactive here and probably lock her up.
Proactive, not reactive.
Yes.
You mean not after she bathes in his blood? Before?
Yeah, I mean, that's funny.
Well, okay. Here we go with Friday's show. You're going to hear Ryan Hurd. You're going to hear Lunchbox be crude.
Crude?
Yeah, the mountains.
Mountain region.
Oh.
Yeah, that
just
happens.
You being you, dude.
I hope everybody has a good Friday. Here's the show right now.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine, Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
Yeah, welcome to Friday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
It's been another day in this radio studio in Canada. It's pretty nice up here. Like, it's also May, so it's not too hot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Like, they said that winter lasts like 9 months here. That'd be crazy, huh?
That'd be terrible.
So I'm here. Everybody's super kind. I've been doing these radio talks for the past couple days. Kind of cool. I've been having a good time. Made some friends. Made some Canadian friends.
So, like, will we take, like, a show trip to Canada one day?
That'd be nice.
We could possibly. They're putting us on a bunch of stations up here. So
yeah, I've never been.
Me either, till now.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Have you ever been Lunchbox?
Yeah, I went to Vancouver for a day.
To do what?
To get on a boat.
Oh, yeah,
when you went on your trip.
Yeah, when I went on my trip. So I was there for about 12 hours. It was really nice.
Speaking of Canadians, you know, one of the hot topics up here is that I dated a Canadian for a couple years. Lindsay L. And Raymond thinks that I'm about to go through a pretty bad time. What, in like the fall, Raymond? Is that what you think?
Yeah, it's. She did a vlog about it. I have some audio if you want it.
Oh, I didn't know that. So hold on. No. Hold on. Raymond has a theory that my ex-girlfriend, Lindsay, since she's writing songs now, that she's writing them about a period in her life, which I guess is our breakup time, and he thinks a whole album's going to come out and bash me.
Oh, wow. Oh no.
That's theory. Is that accurate, Raymond?
Yeah, she's going to Taylor Swift you, man. All these songs, I'm pretty sure, are going to be about the breakup. She said even in her vlog that it's really going to be about this time in her life.
Play the audio. I haven't heard this. Go ahead.
I'm already writing record 2. We're probably going to get into the studio in December to record the next record. And, I mean, gosh, as a songwriter, you write about what's going on in your life. So there will be lots of songs on the next record about this time in my life. Because I think songwriting is therapeutic, and it's how you get through things. And, yes. So all of the parts of the story that are untold will show up probably
untold
on record number two.
Wait, what? Bobby, had you not heard that yet?
Bobby.
No!
Oh yeah. Untold.
Man. You hear that bus coming?
No, there's no bus. Oh, I didn't do anything.
Well, what do you think's been, what could you be implying by untold?
Who knows?
I don't know. Oof. Maybe she didn't tell me.
Mm. His bathroom habits?
Oh, what if it's like all my private, like personal things?
Wow.
Like you don't put the toilet seat down, you're all she rude.
She wrote a whole song about how I refused to use the bathroom in hotels when we were together.
Man, she sounded real serious.
Yeah, I should probably hit her up about that, huh?
Yeah, you might, or you're going to have to go back to the studio and write a response album.
Yeah, she said it's therapeutic.
No. Wow. I may have to do a diss hip-hop record.
Oh, man, you're going to have to do Lemonade.
Oh, no. I'm going to have to do Sweet Tea. Oh.
Bobby Bones. Recognizing people doing cool things.
It's ICU.
Newborns will now be allowed on the Senate floor. I see you to the Senate. After senators voted unanimously Wednesday to allow infants under the age of one to the short list of people who can enter the exclusive area. Now, do you know why?
Because the first person had a baby.
Yeah.
I don't remember
the request to change Senate rules was made by Senator Tammy Duckworth from Illinois. She was the first sitting senator to give birth. That's crazy. The first, I guess because people are so old.
And female.
They're all like 80 yeah. year olds. And female. You're right.
Yeah, I know. Making waves.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
And go to the Senate to go. You can bring babies in. Unless they're baby spies. Dun-dun! Oh. Okay, over to Raymundo with the news.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
It's producer Raymundo in New York City. Five people were injured when a car jumped the sidewalk and went into a deli. All injuries, luckily, were non-life-threatening. In other news, officials are warning parents about the deodorant challenge, where kids are spraying aerosol deodorant on their skin for a long period of time. It can lead to severe burns and even hospitalization. And finally, in weather news, in the north, tons of rain over the weekend. Possibility for some severe storms as well. Watch out for that. Everywhere else, 80s and 90s today and tomorrow.
I'll give you the lyrics to a country song. Inside the lyrics, it references another artist.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
You have to fill in the blank. So, for example, Jason Aldean, Dirt Road Anthem. Yeah, I'm chilling on Dirt Road, laid back, swerving like I'm...
Oh, I know it.
George Jones.
That would have been the answer for number one.
Yeah, I'm chilling on Dirt Road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones.
Got it?
Yep. Yeah, this is going to be a fun one.
Amy, boy, you're up first. The song is Luke Bryan, That's My Kind of Night. The song goes like this. Put in my country rock hip hop mixtape. Little Conway, a little blank, might just make it rain. Put in my country rock mixtape. Little Conway, little just might make it rain.
Twitty?
No, that's a different artist. I'm sorry.
Put in my country rock hip hop mixtape. Little Conway, and little T-Pain.
T-Pain.
There you go.
Wow, what a jam.
No point for you. Lunchbox.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Darius Rucker, All Right.
All right. All right.
Oh, boy.
Don't need no 5-star reservations. I've got spaghetti and a cheap bottle of wine. Don't need no concert in the city. I got a stereo and the best of blank.
Hank.
Wow.
Hank.
He says Hank because you're rhyming. I got a stereo and the best of.
Because you're rhyming what?
Huh, no.
Don't need no concert in the city. I got a stereo and the best of Patsy Cline.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Stereo doesn't rhyme with Patsy Cline either.
A bottle of wine does, though.
Wine Cline.
Oh, I went with stereo.
They didn't rhyme with Hank either. Eddie.
Sorry, guys. Y'all are going to lose this one.
Oh, you want to bet?
Yep.
Just because you may have 1 point after this round. That's okay.
Okay, ready, Eddie?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Tim McGraw,
mm-hmm.
Truck Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Got blank pumping on my iPod, pumping on my subs in the back of my crew cab.
Yeah, I got it.
What is it?
Lil Wayne.
He says Lil Wayne.
Got Lil Wayne pumping on my iPod, pumping on my subs in the back of my crew cab.
Why'd you roll your eyes,
I
Amy?
Would not have gotten that.
So that was a tough roll.
That was a roll eyes at me, not anybody else.
All right. Eddie's up 1 point. Yeah, you get one more shot.
That's fine.
Yes, it is. That's how the game works.
That's fine. Yes, you're going to have to be fine with it.
It is very fine, yes. Amy, the song is My Girl from Dylan Scott. Softball.
Mm. Oh, come on. You got this, Amy.
Can you name this one without even playing the song? What artist does he reference?
Ooh, is this Blind? Like, could worth be worth two? Hey, baby,
again. Okay, no, we're not. She looks so pretty with no makeup on. You should hear her talking to her mama on the phone. I love it when she raps to a
Eminem song.
There we go.
Oh, Eddie, it's all tied up.
Hey, that's fine.
That's fine.
Lunchbox.
That's me.
Good luck.
Maren Morris, My Church.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that song before.
When Hank brings the sermon and Blank leads the choir, it gets my cold heart burning, hotter than a ring of fire.
Oh, that's hard.
When Hank
brings the sermon.
There's that Hank guy again.
And Blank leads the choir.
Oh, man. Steven Tyler. What?
But listen to the song. Listen to the song that she's referencing to.
Steven Tyler.
Well, it said fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, ring
hotter
of fire.
Than a ring of fire.
Yeah, but that Johnny Cash doesn't rhyme with that.
Oh, my God.
When Hank brings the sermon and Cash leads the choir.
Oh. But Cash doesn't rhyme either, Lunchbox. He doesn't have to rhyme unless it's on the end.
My goodness. Oh. That's fine.
That's fine. That's okay, too.
But Steven Tyler rhymed, so.
They did. Tyler and fire.
But that, okay, whatever. Okay. Eddie, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
For the win.
Yes, come on.
That's close.
Florida Georgia Line, oh, This Is How We Roll.
Oh, boy.
The mixtapes got a little Hank, little
ooh, got
Blank.
It. Got
you
it.
Know it?
Yeah, I got it.
Mick, go ahead.
God's plan. Drake.
Mixtapes got a little Hank, little Drake.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's up on the field, right?
That's the nice yeah. This guy. Eddie's the big winner this morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw Amy's kids. I guess they got on their tablet and Amazon was unlocked and they just bought everything.
Yeah, on my daughter's tablet specifically, my husband put sometimes you have to take the parental controls off to do certain things, but you have to remember to go put it back on. And he forgot. So she just started pressing things. I don't even think she knew what she was pressing. I mean, there was like certain apps that have nothing to do. They're like adult apps, like for software changes that are like $20 per pop. Then other things were like $16.99. Some things were free, but she was just clicking on everything. And then it was like one email after another. And I called my husband. And I'm like, get the tablet. Take it away right now. Then I called Amazon and
you can actually call Amazon.
I called. I talked to a customer service rep.
Jeff Bezos.
No, I didn't talk to him. He's busy. But talked to some lady named like Brenda or something. Shout out Brenda at Amazon because she erased everything from the tablet that was purchased and fully refunded all the money.
So is that a thing where on your tablet, do you have to put in a code to do parental control?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a code. And she's always over your shoulder trying to figure it out. She's good at that too. Even if it's a long password, she'll like our on Amazon TV. Like you have a password every time you rent a TV show or buy a movie and you have to type in this like code and she knows it now, but she's not trying to like be sneaky about it. She just thinks, oh, okay, well I can type this in. I think she's not seeing the number, but she is.
Hmm. How's that going?
What, her sneakiness? She's resourceful.
Yeah.
You know, some call it sneaky. I call it survival.
How is school going with her?
Good. I mean, I assume I haven't had any weird updates from the teacher, and she seems to be doing well. Their English is coming along great. I just hope.
Does she still kind of sandbag it a bit with her English?
No.
And act like she doesn't know?
No, they're getting much better. And now they speak to each other in English sometimes instead of always in Creole behind our back. There's less and less trash talking happening.
So they're not talking in Creole about you guys without you knowing
so.
What it is.
Mm-mm.
Are you learning more Creole?
No, because we're learning English.
But I mean, just being around them.
No, because they're speaking English. That's what I'm telling you.
No, but I'm
why
saying...
Why would we practice the Creole?
You don't have to practice, but I'm saying, are you picking up things?
No, because I'm telling you.
Oh, out. My goodness.
It's, yeah,
yeah, the time for me to learn Creole would have been a long time ago. Now we need to focus on the future, which is English. And yeah. They're doing so good at it that Like, there's not, no, they're not speaking Creole to me.
Do you ever plan to go back to the orphanage?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There's already stuff. My husband, like, needs to go back for some stuff that he's working on.
With the kids, though.
Oh, yes. But not, we're not going to take them for at least a year or longer.
Do you worry that you'll go and they'll miss it and want to stay and then get sad?
If we go too soon, that's why we're going to wait. I just don't want to confuse them. There's so much they're processing that it's not worth putting them through that until they feel solid here and where they are to where they can go back and be okay with it. Because I think that'll be a very... My friend just took her kids for the first time that's adopted from Haiti, and she waited 3 years. So
how'd they do?
I think it was this. It was a hard trip, but successful.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, you know, I would eventually like them to go back and spend time with their biological moms. And, you know, that's just a lot to take in for kids.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's heavy.
And I...
Her mom is still alive. Is his?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she has a little brother. She talks about him all the time now.
A little brother that's not your son.
Right.
Because Amy's daughter and son, they're brother and sister now, but they weren't biological brother and sister.
They're different moms and dads, but they were at the same orphanage. And she's met him once. He's way younger than her. He's maybe two. And her mom brought him by the orphanage one day. So she met him once, like a few weeks before she came to America.
Wow.
And so now that's what's in her head. Like, we'll be at the store and she'll say something like, oh, I want to get this for my brother. And I know she's not talking about Stevenson, my son, her now brother. She's talking about her Haitian brother. And she'll want to get things for him. And I'm like,
wow, that's heavy.
Okay. I know. I'm very delicate with that.
How do you handle that?
I just say, okay, yeah, you know what? When we go back, we should definitely see if there's things we can bring him. And, you know, and we pray for him every night. If we're praying, like, and I don't say certain people, she'll remind me. She's like, oh, and my brother too. And I'll be like, oh, yes. And her brother.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's heavy.
I know.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for sharing. And remember, set your passwords.
Hey, that was not my tablet. Dad. That was...
Let me give you the password that works for me. 6969. Yeah. Always. Right, boys?
That's your password.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
Two little kittens were found safe and sound, hitching a ride in a detective's car in Florida. They rescued the cats from the engine and then another one from the bumper. And the department is doing something cool with it. They use it as an opportunity to remind people to spay and neuter their pets. And then they're nursing these little kittens back to health. And when they're old enough, they're going to put them up for adoption through a local animal service.
I love that story. Give me some more like that. That's a good one.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Alberta, Canada. A man who owns a wildlife park is in serious trouble after he took a bear through the drive-thru at Dairy Queen. He drove up and he let the bear stick his head out the window and lick the ice cream cone as he's getting it handed to him.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Imagine you're working at Dairy Queen. And every day, people are just like, where's my ice cream? Give me some sprinkles. I want a chocolate. And then all of a sudden, Winnie the Pooh comes through. Wow. I mean, that's exciting. If you're working at Dairy Queen and a bear wants to lick the ice cream, that's awesome. So the guy got in trouble?
He got in trouble for taking the animal off-site without permission from the Fish and Wildlife and giving them a heads up.
Oh. Let him go.
Let him go.
Oh, I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Bono from U2 turned 58 yesterday. Saw that last night. 58.
Wow. Happy birthday, Bono.
That's old.
Belated.
How about that? Bono's 58. I'll give you the band. Give me the lead singer. Ready, Amy?
Ready.
Maroon 5.
Adam Levine.
Correct.
Wow.
That was a good one.
Lunchbox.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
The Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah. I know who that is. That's, he's... Mick Jagger.
Correct. Nice
yeah.
work.
Wow. That's Eddie, it. What That's about it. That?
I'm
How you like that? How about that?
That was a good one.
Softball.
What?
Yeah,
not
that's
really.
A softball. Yeah, Adam Levine. Come on.
Adam Levine was a softball.
Okay.
Eddie.
That's terrible. Go ahead, Bones.
Queen.
Oh, Freddie Mercury.
Correct.
Dang. Woo! I was going to say Freddie Mac.
That was his nickname.
Name the lead singer, Amy.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Nirvana.
Kurt Cobain.
Correct.
Yes. Amy.
Okay. Lunchbox.
Yep.
Name the lead singer of Foo Fighters.
Oh, that's easy. I watched that documentary with that guy. Studio one. Dave Grohl.
Correct.
Yeah!
Bam!
That's right! Dave Grohl!
What on earth?
And what band was Dave Grohl in Lunchbox before Foo Fighters?
Jane's Addiction.
No, Nirvana. He's a drummer for Nirvana. Yeah.
Dang it.
Eddie.
Come on.
Led Zeppelin.
Oh. Yep. Robert Plant.
Correct. Nice work.
Wow. People mean
hit it.
There you go. Amy, name the lead singer of Fleetwood Mac.
Hold on.
The lead singer of Fleetwood Mac, Amy.
It's that girl with the red hair.
Come on, Amy. Fleetwood Mac.
Right? Or are they together?
With a landslide.
Let me down.
3 seconds.
And the Fleet Mac. Fleetwood.
Miss Fleetwood, you
Miss
say?
Miss Fleetwood Mac with Miss the red hair.
No, Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks! Sorry. That's it! Oh, I'm so stupid. I couldn't think of her.
That's a girl that sings in that band?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
God. Oh, man.
She sounds like a girl.
I really let myself down.
Okay. Lunchbox.
For the win.
No.
Oh.
Lanco.
Good one, Bones.
Stop.
That's a great one.
Lunchbox, you've actually met this lead singer of all
plenty
of them.
Times.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Brandon.
Oh.
Brandon what?
What?
You have to know his last name. You can't just say Brandon.
What do you mean? Brandon Lanco.
So close.
Lancaster.
Bones. No. I'm going to give it to him. Brandon
yes!
Lancaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
How did you do that?
I have no idea.
Eddie, probably because he's met him about 3 times.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't remember names.
Eddie.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's crazy. Go ahead.
To stay in the game against Lunchbox.
Oh, don't let me win this game. You'll never hear the end of it.
I know
you'll never hear the end of it, buddy. Get ready.
Black Sabbath.
Oh, that's easy. Yep. Ozzy Osbourne.
Correct.
Woo.
All right, sudden death.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
I'll name one band.
And you yell your name?
Just yell the lead singer only. You have to yell your name.
Oh boy.
Oh, okay.
That's going to make me really think.
Yell the lead singer only. Ready?
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses.
Axl Rose. Yeah, that's me.
Whoa,
That's a tie.
That's a tie. Lunch.
That's a tie. We'll do another band.
Oh, I don't think so.
Another band.
I think I won that.
Another band.
No,
it's under protest.
I'm in Canada. I can't even see you guys right now.
I know.
I saw it. I feel like it's a tie.
Ooh.
Okay, that's a tie.
Twitter will tell you.
Amy, do you have any bands in mind?
Are you out of bands?
No, I have one. Okay, one. Ready.
Okay.
Oh, whoa.
Name the lead singer of Aerosmith.
Steven Tyler.
Oh!
Eddie for the win. Eddie wins.
Get it!
There you go.
Woo!
Bobby Bones Show. This is my last day to be doing the show from Canada. I'm in Toronto, so no lie, we're walking on the radio station and they have pictures of Celine Dion and Bare Naked Ladies, Alanis Morissette. So they're very proud, which I would be too. I'm from Arkansas. We love people from Arkansas. So I did read a story that Celine Dion's son is now a rapper. His name is Big Tip.
Oh, okay.
Big.
So, in honor of my last day in Canada, I'd like to hear some Big Tip. Raymond, can you hit Big Tip, please?
Yeah, let's go. I ran out of tears when I was 16. So, you bitches don't faze me. So many people wish they knew me. But my circle's tight, yeah, I'm choosy. Lately I've been riding about lust at one time. And just don't fall in love, I don't have that time.
Okay.
Yeah, does Celine have any creative input?
It's the number one R&B song in Canada right now.
What?
Oh.
That one?
Yeah, it sounds like he's in his bathroom.
Yeah.
Wow. Again, I do not fancy myself a rapper. I did sign a deal back in the day, and I did rap with Sugarland and thought, nah, it's not that good. But I still think that me rapping with Sugarland is as good as that.
I'd back you up any day. It's way better than this.
Yeah.
He's got too much money, huh?
Yeah. He should have like his mom do his hooks or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So I was at a restaurant yesterday. I'm
up here, and they've put us on a bunch of stations in Canada, so that's what I'm doing. I'm speaking, and I'm meeting a lot of the radio program directors. And so we go to lunch at this place, and there's no sign on the door, and we walk in, and it's kind of fancy and cool, and I see someone from a TV show that I watch. And the show's on Netflix, but it's a Canadian show called Blank's Creek. You know how they say you can go up Blank Creek?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
Starts with an S. Right. So we'll call it Splits Creek. And the main character is Daniel Levy, who's Eugene Levy's son from American Pie. Well, I see him sitting at a table, and I pull up my Insta story, and I start to record him. And you see it. It's still up right now. He sees me recording him and stares me down.
Uh-oh.
And it's like, and so I pull my phone down real quick. And then I find out this place is so fancy that you're not supposed to have your phones out at all inside of there.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know restaurants really did that.
Well, apparently a lot of famous people in Toronto go there.
Oh.
And they don't want them feeling like they're getting recorded. So not only did I have my phone out, I was recording someone eating. And so, yeah, you'll see it there. So that was my celebrity story. Amy was next to American Idol judge?
Yeah, well, 99% sure it was Kara DioGuardi. I stared at her the entire class, and she busted me multiple times, so I need to not do that. But I Googled her immediately when we got out of class, just so I could have fresh on the brain. Pretty sure it was her. And she was beautiful.
Kara DioGuardi came into Idol as the first fourth judge.
Yeah.
Because they had Simon, Paula, and Randy, and they brought Kara DioGuardi in.
And I know she's a songwriter, and I know she spends time in Nashville sometimes, so it makes sense that I tried to, like, stalk her socials to be like, is she in Nashville right now? But, yeah, if not, then some girl just basically had me staring at her all class long.
And you didn't talk to her or anything?
No, I didn't want to be like, hey, so my bestie Bobby's on American Idol now, too.
She'd have been like, who?
Yeah.
Who
I was like,
that?
I didn't know if she still followed the show or kept up or what.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Back in 1997, Gigi graduated from high school with a one-year-old daughter sitting in the audience watching her walk the stage. So she didn't go to college, said, I gotta raise my daughter. Well, they both graduated from college last week the same time. They walked the stage, sitting next to each other at graduation.
Wow.
Once her daughter went to college, she said, I'm going to college. And they graduated together.
Oh, that's
woohoo!
Cool.
That's cool.
And you know why they're sitting beside each other?
Because
they have the same last name.
Yes! Yes!
Wow. That's a cool story, man. Because it reminds me of my mom, because she didn't go to college. She didn't even finish high school. And so my mom, who got pregnant with me when she was 15 years old, dropped out of school. And I remember when my mom decided she wanted to go and get her GED. And so I said, hey, if you'll get your GED, like, I'll pay for it. So she went and she got it. I remember her getting it. And we had like a little party, like a private party.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
It was like a graduate. Yeah. And then when Lunchbox told that story, it just reminds me of that. That's really cool. Well, there you go. That's Tell Me Something Good. Nice job, LB.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bones.
Here we go.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood.
Amy's 30-second skinny.
Brantley Gilbert hasn't shared release details for his next album just yet, but we do know a little detail that he's going to have a song on the album called The Man That Hung the Moon, and it's a song that he wrote specifically for his son, Barrett Hardy Clay.
That's sweet. You know, Brantley's a softy at times.
I know.
Yeah,
and
I like
how
that
cool
dude.
When that son grows up, he's going to be like, yep, this song was written for me.
Now, what else you got?
We got some movies in theaters today. Life of the Party, only 28% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. And your other option this weekend is called Breaking In, and it's also pretty low with 35% positive.
I'm not sure I know what either one of those are.
Yeah. I mean, people are saying Avengers is probably still going to win the box office.
Huh. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I'm Amy. That's your 30-second skinny.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I wanted to tell you about this new puzzle game that I've been playing called Best Fiends. Yeah, you heard me right. Best Fiends. I'm loving it. I think you will, too. I've been pulling up my phone whenever I have downtime, traveling. Listen, everybody on the show is playing it. And we are not alone because 80 million other people have also downloaded Best Fiends. In Best Fiends, you solve puzzles, you collect tons of characters. Just try it and you'll see what I mean. Play by yourself or connect with friends or family to compete. They update the game all the time, so there's always something new and fun to try. Best Fiends is not like any other puzzle game. You have to check it out for yourself. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download Best Fiends for free. That's Best Fiends, F-I-E-N-D-S, as in friends, but without the R. It's called Best Fiends. It's a puzzle game that I've been playing. Like when I travel, I'm on an airplane, or if I'm sitting around waiting between meetings, it's a game I pull up. Best Fiends, F-I-E-N-D-S. It's like Friends, but without the R. Check that out.
The Friday Morning Conversation
with Ryan Hurd.
Yeah, Ryan's walking down the hallway right now. Thanks for hanging out with us. First time Ryan's been in the studio before. He did one of my very first ever Bobby casts from my house, like when I lived in the condo.
Yeah.
But this is the first time he's ever been. There he is, right there. There he is. Come on in here. Have a seat, my friend. Sit right there. Look at this guy.
You didn't even make me bring my guitar in.
You could have, but it's so early in the morning, and I thought, I just want to talk to him anyway.
It's made my morning so much easier.
Well, good. Put those headphones on. We're on the air right now, by the way.
Oh.
So you can't even tell because we don't have good DJ voices. Good to see you, my friend.
You too. Thanks for having me.
He would
me
be in. Able to tell because our voices would change.
Well, yeah, you walk into some shows
like,
and it's like,
hey, Ryan, and then, hey, Ryan.
Well, they go, okay, we're going to start in 3, 2. Well, everybody welcome. Good morning here on the radio.
But when you walk into radio stations, they have a radio voice. They'll talk to you in a normal voice, and then it'll be like a 100% different. When the button's on, it is different.
Even our bosses will sit in this room, and they'll talk to us, but they don't know we're on the air. They'll start talking, and we'll go, hey, we're doing a show right here. So
maybe that's why people like listening to you.
Maybe that's it. Listen to the song right here. I don't know if you heard this song yet. It's a good one.
Doesn't matter.
You heard this one?
I have heard that one. I haven't heard it in a while, but
look at this.
Girl, you got me till we run out of time. Did you pull rain or shine?
I gotta wonder. The wind's gonna blow. Because the day it came out, we played it. And I said, man, this Ryan Hurd song's good. But when did you write this song?
So we got engaged 4th of July weekend of last year. And I had it kind of in my back pocket for a couple months before that. And really, it was just a title in my phone. Like when you write songs with other people, you have like this running list of things that could maybe be a song. And I had it down like diamonds are twine. And I had it all mapped out in my head. And I knew who I wanted to write it with. I wrote it with Laura Veltz, who wrote a lot of songs for me and for Maren. She wrote We Do Us for me and wrote like Rich with Maren and I Could Use a Love Song, and just one of those like really close friends that we've always had. And I was like, I got this title and I got this idea, and you know, I'm going back in the studio to record more music, and so we were kind of aiming at that. And it was just a really cool thing to like just get down like my thoughts down on, you know, paper. And
what is that like? You walk into a room and you got to be super vulnerable here. You're going, I want to write this love song. I'm going to get married. Like, I want to pour it all out there.
This is kind of before, like, that all was I decided in my mind, too. It was sort of like the song came before anything else. So, I mean, you have to pick the right people to write something super personal. And like, I feel like I've released a lot of really personal music as an artist. And most times you in Nashville, you go to write a song, you just write something that you hope will be a hit, and it's not generally something that's like pouring your heart out. But this one was really, you know, something that was really important to me. And honestly, like the picture was really important to me, because it really is like a no matter what sort of lyric, where it's like, man, if there's a lot or if there's a little, it's sort of like vows, you know what I mean? When they say,
I don't exactly, but you do.
Right. I do now.
Did you write your own vows, huh?
Yeah, we did. We kind of did both. We like each had our own vows, and then we both said the same thing so that there was some sort of like continuity there. But like this was sort of like a physical picture that you could like, I don't know, look at and say like, this is the way that I feel about you beyond all this other stuff and beyond this life that we've sort of built together. Like if it's there, if it's not, I'm still going to be. I call it my no matter what. That's kind of my... Mm-hmm. What this song is for me.
Ryan Hurd is here. I'm going to play Diamonds or Twine in just a second. I wonder, though, if you're doing your vows, just in general, you're a songwriter, or you're any kind of writer, the pressure to have the perfect vows whenever words are your craft. Did you feel more pressure? Did you scratch out and come back a lot?
No. I mean, they were fun. Like, we kind of had a lot of fun with it. I remember she said, like, she got the Predators, the hockey team, in her vows to me, and I had to I promise to ride in a single bunk with you as long as we have one, and also I'll put up with the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
And see,
so
that's
like
good.
We just kind of made it. You know, there were like heavy moments, but we put a lot of lightness into it too, because I don't know, it was fun to get married, and we have a lot of fun like doing all this stuff and riding all over the country playing music with each other. So I don't know, it was an awesome just day, and the song was even, you know, a part of that. And that, just being able to release something where you don't ask anybody for anything, and I don't know, putting out music just to put it out, it was really like a special thing. And yeah, I really just had an awesome time that weekend, and it's like something that we still talk about every day.
I'm going to play it. We're going to come back with Ryan. Here's Diamonds Are Twine from Ryan Hurd on The Bobby Bones Show.
Go!
On The Bobby Bones Show now.
Ryan Hurd.
How big a boy are you?
How big?
Yeah.
I'm like
tall.
6'3".
And how much do you weigh? Bobby's into that.
Okay. Whoa, Ryan's just so big.
I weigh 190 pounds right now. I weighed myself yesterday.
Bobby, so, he's like...
I like to be around like between 185 and like... I don't like to hit 195.
Bobby, he's like 40 pounds heavier than you.
No, I'm not. There's no way.
Yeah, he's...
So, well, here's what happened. So Ryan and I were together in Austin, and we were talking in the back room, and I was sitting in a chair, and Ryan was standing talking over me, and I was like... And I also see you on Insta story with your shirt off, and I'm like, man, that dude's jacked.
Okay, I don't like to do that, but...
Well, Maren puts you on hers all the time with no shirt on.
I'm not doing that, but yeah, I actually like to work out a little bit, but it was a head thing for me. Like, you know, like people don't have control over their emotions. That was my thing, and it was like the one thing that I could control is like...
Okay. I thought, does he have a big head? He's trying to work out.
I have no big head. Yeah.
I started like getting really serious about stuff like that, like, I guess 2 years ago, just to like make my head focus and not like be like an emotional roller coaster. And it's been really cool. It's really helped, like, I don't know, become a grown up in a way. And like there's so little that you can actually control in your daily life. So that was just a cool thing to kind of get into.
6'3", 190, though, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
6'3", go ahead.
I don't get, like, I don't like to do this stuff for any other reason than that. Like, it's not fun to, like, go lift weights or run or anything like that. You do it every day.
But yeah, I don't look like you, though.
Yes, you do. Come on. Give yourself some credit.
I weighed myself.
Man. How much do you want to weigh, though?
He wants to weigh 150.
Well, so I'm...
Ryan's laughing, but that's how much you weigh. And he's been working really hard to get
I cut down hard for a couple TV things.
He used to weigh 170.
And I'm 6'1", 151.
Okay. You want to weigh 150 pounds?
Okay, that tone I don't appreciate.
No, because you're like you're a muscular dude now. So like that's... I mean, that means that you're, like, cutting a lot. Never mind.
I'm cutting a lot.
I don't want to get into body too
I'm
much.
I'm cutting a lot. Like, somebody needs to. Come on.
No, that's a good thing. I just think it's good to, like, be healthy. And it is weird to, like, have people who, like, that's what their hobby is to work out. Because to me, it's like, I want to do this so I can go do my actual hobbies. Like, we should all go water skiing. I think that would be really fun. Like, way more fun than, like, running for 20 minutes on a treadmill. But I don't know. It's just... The older I got, it was like, I need to do something that's not, like, I don't know, that's good for me every day. And just if I can do that, then everything else is, whatever happens, at least I did that today, so.
Yeah, I hate exercising. Hate it.
But you're good at it.
I'm good at just working hard.
Dude, I tried to box the other day. My friend, who's TR's trainer, opened a new gym. And when I was on the road with Thomas, we would box every day. We'd like, what you do? And... It was like you get kind of good at it and you start to like get coordinated. I went back after like a year of not doing it. I looked terrible. I was like, my hands and my feet don't move together. So like getting that done, that's crazy to like get good at that the way you've gotten good at that.
No, I don't get hit though. There's a difference.
I could never get hit.
I got hit once and I thought, meh, I'm good. I'm like, just going to practice fake train.
By your trainer?
Yeah, I got hit and I thought, meh, I'm out. This is not for me. I think I'm going to be a big shot.
See, I hit the padded, whatever, the mitts. I hit that sometimes. I'm like, that hurt my hand. I don't want to do that.
Owie.
Yeah. I'm going to play some songs here. Ryan Hurd is here, by the way. Check out his newest song, Diamonds Are Twine.
Doesn't matter if it's diamonds.
Is this even a radio song? Is it like, have they said it? I mean, we've been playing
what?
It anyway. Go ahead, Amy.
In my personal opinion, I don't pick the music, but people in here do. And I love that. This is my jam.
It is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's great too.
We haven't like had an ad day or anything like that on this one.
Ad day.
There's some stations that play it quite a bit, actually. So it's been cool to have people react to it. And honestly, like every single day, there's people who reach out to me on Instagram or Twitter, and they're like, this is our wedding song. And will you come to, Naples, Florida, to sing this at my wedding. And it's actually really flattering. I remember when Russell put out yours, he had a lot of people asking. I'm sure he does every day now, too. But I was like, man, that's got to be cool to have people like make, like have a song that they love so much that they will make it like their song forever.
Yeah.
Like, our first dance was Ashley Monroe's Has Anybody Ever Told You? And I don't know. It's just a song that every time you hear it, you'll be like, that's our wedding song. So now that like people have heard this song and they're like, oh, my God, this is something that I love so much that I will, every time I listen to it, think of my wedding day. And that's just a huge honor, too. But no, not quite a, that was a tangent, but not quite a radio song. But I don't know.
What is a radio song?
I don't make,
we play it.
I don't make that decision. So I'm really happy to, anytime I get to put music out.
I knew Ryan first as a guy who was writing a bunch of songs. Ryan came over to the house a couple years ago, right? I mean, 2 years ago?
I don't know if it was that long ago, but it was like right when you started doing the Bobby cast.
Right, is that a couple years ago, Mike?
I was like number 15 or something.
1947, they told me. That's when it was, what year it was.
Oh, wow.
1947, yeah. So he wrote the
We don't have to be alone.
For Lonely Tonight, speaking of Ashley Monroe.
Yeah.
This one paid the bills for a bit?
It still does a little bit.
Does
yeah.
it, yeah?
Yeah.
How does that work? Do these checks come every quarter, every month?
Well, they come every quarter in varying sizes, depending on how successful you've been that year. So, basically radio stations and anyone that plays music has to license themselves to have that content. And so out of that licensing money, people like me get paid for the copyright of the song. So, that's every quarter. Most people get paid every quarter.
How about this one? Wrote this one too. Yeah.
Yeah, this one was fun to write. This is one of those where like people tell you, why didn't you record that yourself? And it's like, man, I couldn't have done this with this song. Like the horns and the way Busby produced it was like, I don't know, a voice like Charles kind of sold it in a cool way. So
whenever you write this song, from the minute that you're done with it until Lady Antebellum says, we're cutting it, how long is that?
It is totally different every time. I recorded, like, the fastest I ever had was a song called Last Turn Home that I wrote with Marin that was, I think he recorded it like 4 days after we wrote it, which is very, very rare. And then
Tim McGraw, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a couple weeks if you're like getting in there like toward the end of the album, but most of the time it's a couple months. 6 months, maybe, that they'll hold a song.
What's crazy to me is sometimes when we hear stuff that was like years.
Oh, I've had a lot of songs that like get held for a year, and then they're recorded on the album like at the beginning, and then like when they're putting the album together, it's like, oh man, that one didn't make it. And that can be like a 2 year thing on a song that's just been like held up, and by that time it's like, well, this isn't quite as current as it could be. So,
didn't someone hold You Look Good? Like TR? Did TR have You Look Good? Is that the story?
Yeah, I think his label did. Sometimes, that's the weird thing about holds. So, like, in Nashville, Tennessee, when you write a song, you have a publisher, which is like a record company for songwriters. And they take your song and they show it to managers and labels and artists. And really the only person that, and producers, but the only person that really matters is the artist. So, like, if the label holds it, they're going to show the artist, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, there's some holds that mean a lot more than other holds, if that makes sense. So I know Big Machine held You Look Good for Thomas Rhett. And by the time it got to Thomas Rhett, I don't know if it actually got held because they let it go. But Thomas writes is such a good writer. Charles is too. I mean, those guys, Dave, Hillary, those guys are prolific. They write more songs a year than most people would imagine that they do. But yeah, TR had it first. Didn't work out, but Busby wrote the song and produced the album, the Lady A album. So it was sort of like a really natural fit to have them record it if I wasn't going to. And songs like find their homes is kind of the way that I look at it. It's like if it's going to end up on my album, like I hold stuff that I write for me. If I just know it's like that one's mine. And then you write a bunch of great stuff, but you're like, man, I only get three things that I get to record, so I'm going to do these three. So everything else can go try to find a home, which is really hard to do because all these artists are great songwriters on their own. So, like, and I think that the songwriting has gotten better, like, from the artists, like guys like Luke Combs. And Kane writes all his own stuff, and Maren, I don't know how you could write an outside song for Maren. It'd be really hard. Like, the writing has gotten so much better from the artists that it's even harder now to get outside cuts as a writer. So, but it's cool every time it does. It's like the highest compliment. They could potentially sing that song from stage every night for the rest of their lives. So,
you have a really cool group of friends.
Yeah.
Like the hip group of friends.
They're just people.
But you guys were all friends before you all became hip, though, is the thing. It's what's cool about it. Like John and TJ, Brothers Osborne.
Yeah. I mean, those guys keep getting cooler to me. And I wrote one song right after Port St. Joe came, got finished recording. I was like, bummer, I missed that one. But like just watching them, like we went to Europe the same time they did and got to see them play to crowds in Europe, and we live in the same neighborhood and just hang out. They came to the Predators game with us when Maren sang the anthem, and they're just good people. And like Lucy is a really special. Maren had her bachelorette party at Lucy's house with, I don't know, they're really amazing people. Outside of music, we would still hang out with them every chance we got.
Yeah, Lucy Silvas, who's married to John Osborne, said that Maren was John's best man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. It was before we started dating, but Maren's like, I'm going over to, don't tell anyone, but John and Lucy are getting married today, and Karina's going to officiate, and I'm going to be the best man. Karina actually is the person that married us, too. So, they're a really tight-knit group of friends, and I'm just happy that I get to hang out with all of them. And
who else is in that cool person circle?
I don't know. I guess as far as, like...
the artists that people would know. Because it's always hanging out with somebody on there.
Yeah, I mean, Casey and Rustin...
yeah. Now,
they live in our neighborhood.
Those parties, all that intellectual music happening. They're all just like, let's talk about the theory of music.
I don't know. A lot of people that hang out, we hang out with a lot of people who don't do music because, I don't know, they're just our friends.
Mm-mm. And
they're
the friends. Only music. Only surround yourself with music.
Yeah, that's the hardest part is like getting away from it sometimes. Because it's like everybody, like you don't turn it off. Nobody turns it. I mean, you don't turn it off.
I can't afford to.
It's really hard to like shut your brain down, but hanging out with people who don't do music is really fun to like, and people who like work in music, like we have a lot of people who are like on the road doing like have jobs, touring jobs, and a lot of people who work in publishing, and a lot of people who are just songwriters that aren't really like, all my best friends in Nashville are guys that I came up like writing songs with for other people, like my producer now who's a songwriter, and guys that wrote for my album and who I've gotten cuts with. Like, those are just the people that you gravitate toward. I don't know. This is a really cool town, and people who are not just making music, but in and around music are all a really special family. And the same thing with like, you know, John and TJ, and you say it's like the cool kid club, but it really is just a bunch of people who like weren't that cool in high school, who like got here and like found their tribe and just started making music. And, It's like, I don't know, it's like anybody else going out on a Thursday night. They're just people. And
I need
really
a tribe.
Fun.
I need one of these cool kid tribes. How do I get my own tribe?
I have a question about, and you maybe have addressed this, so it's a dumb question, sorry, but I follow Ryan on Instagram, and every morning he's like pouring coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Okay. But he's always tagging people. So if you watch his story, he's pouring the coffee in the mug. It looks really cool. But then there's people tagged, and sometimes it's different people. So in my mind, I don't know what it is, and I make up my own story. I'm like, must be who he's writing with today.
No, there are
Coffee shout out.
A lot of writers are on that tag list, but it's mostly people who like reach out to me on like Instagram. They're like, hey, tag me, I'm doing this, and they tell me what coffee they're drinking.
It sounds like, it's almost like you're praying for someone, that's what it feels like for me.
It kind of is. Yeah. It's sort of like the other day I had a buddy like, hey man, put me in the coffee post, and I'm like, okay, cool.
Okay.
I just put their name in there, okay. But I love the little stuff. Mm-hmm. That's like I get really satisfied by like the tiniest little stuff, and that's one of the things is like, I love waking up before Maren and like, I love coffee pots. I don't really love the single cup thing. But I love the coffee pots because it feels like you're going to work. Like, you make a pot of coffee, and then you pull it out, and you pour it. And then I got really into my band on the road started doing those, like, pour-overs in the Chemex. And so I got really into that. And, like, but
Well, so now I know if you get tagged in the coffee, it's just because it's going to be a good day.
You're like, hey, shout me out. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's like a lot of fans and a lot of people that are just buddies that, I don't know, think it's just as stupid as it
Bobby,
is fun.
One day you'll maybe.
I know. I'm trying to get that coffee shout out.
Coffee
I don't drink coffee
out.
Though. So wait, you moved to town, if I remember correctly, and you didn't move here to do music, right? Didn't you come to study like?
I went to college. Yeah, that's it. I got a sociology degree from Belmont. And I was going to go to graduate school at Michigan.
To do what in graduate school?
I don't know. I didn't do it. I went and did. I wanted to go do urban planning at Michigan, and it. I just couldn't pull the trigger because I was like, that sounds so boring. And I didn't. It was like right when like it was really hard to get a job out of college, and I was like, I can just go do graduate school and like kick the can a little bit and. I don't know. I just started writing songs with my friends and was like, I think I can maybe make a go of country music. I like songwriting. I've always been in and around music and I love Nashville and I think I can do it. So I just sort of did it. And I think that that's like the best way to get into music in Nashville is to like have no idea what the odds are and no idea. Because if everyone knew how hard it was, no one would do this. It's just like, it's very hard. So you have to have a lot of like, be like super naive. And you have to really focus on getting good. And so we would go in and make demos and then like people would tell us they were okay. And then we'd go write more songs and make some more demos. And like, this is like being in studios at like midnight, like that story where it's like you're paying your friends in pizza and beer and hoping that they like your best guitar player buddy can make it that night and you won't get called into work or something. So, and we just kind of got our foot in the door that way. And then one guy got a little bit of attention and then I signed, and then Aaron signed, and then Matt McGinn signed, and it's like now we're all like been here a handful of years looking around like, oh my gosh, we're really doing it. So I still wake up every day like, I can't believe I don't have a job. So
pouring the coffee.
I love what I do. I love Nashville. I love country music. I love other people's music way more than I love my own. It's a very, very cool place to be and to work and to get to like be creative. And I don't know, it's a grind. I mean, everybody in here works really, really hard to make sure that they can still be a part of it tomorrow, but it's an amazing place to make music.
Oh, look at this guy. Ryan Hurd, Diamonds or Twine.
It doesn't matter if it's diamonds or twine, I'll be wrapped around.
So every time I saw Maren last weekend, every time, I just go, baby! Like, I can't shake that song.
It's...
I have to admit, when
huge.
Ryan walked in, I hate me. And then I was like, oh, like, yeah, it's like, oh, it's
oh,
in
I
my
had
head.
I heard that song like 200 times before it even got recorded. So it's a catchy little number.
Is it still in your head, though? Or is it, at this point, it's kind of burned itself away?
Honestly, it's a hard one to get sick of. It's amazing. Man. I mean,
I'm more into it now than ever, and it's been out forever.
And the story is fantastic. Like, Maren didn't really... That didn't, like, fall in her lap. She made that happen. She was told, like, don't do this demo. It's going to somebody else. And she said, I'm doing it anyway. And then the way that the chips fell, she like, made her own opportunity. I'm really proud of her for that. It was, like, a very... We were in Mexico, and Janet sent her the song. She's like, listen to this. And honestly, for, like, 3 straight days, it was, like, this demo over and over and over. And I was like, you should probably... I'd never seen her get so excited about a song since... She like got the demo back for my church, and she didn't even write this song. So, you know, she knew it was special. Like the second she heard it, it was very cool.
I can't shake it.
Yeah, I mean, neither can the radio.
Yeah,
and it's cool because like they, I don't know. I feel proud just because she is such a cool ambassador for country music. Like aside from me, like being married to her, like if I want somebody representing what we do in Nashville to the rest of the country and the world, like she's 100% who I want doing that just because she's so talented. Her music is super, it is country music, but it's so accessible to everybody else. I'm proud of her. I think, and you know, I got to meet Zed and I sat down with him. We sat next to him at the Grammys and he's a super cool dude.
Probably push him around though, huh? You're a big dude.
He's not as big as me. But yeah, I'm tall. I'm just tall, man. I'm deceivingly
But
it was
fun. You got a good cut.
You gotta like, when you do these things, you got to like get your suit ready and whatever. It's a lot of work. So you're like, always self-conscious about what you're wearing, and then you go and you sit down, and like the cameras follow you in, like they know when you're sitting down, and they kind of just park it and they stick it in our face a lot. And even me sometimes, like when she's on stage or she's gone, and sometimes I'm like the only recognizable person that's in the crowd because everybody else is backstage doing something. So like the cameras are always on you, and we sit down with Zed and sit down. I was like, hey man, his brother's there, and they're so sweet. They're the nicest dudes in the world. And he goes, what do I do with my jacket? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, do I button it or do I un... What do I do? And I was like, well, man, like when I sit down, I unbutton my suit jacket, but you're a rock star, so you can do whatever you want. He's like, okay.
And he unbuttons his jacket and sits
down. Stars are just like us.
Stars are just like us, Amy.
Yeah.
Look at you guys.
But he's the sweetest dude and obviously super talented.
Well, I mean, I was a big fan of this one, too. I just played this one a lot. This is...
Oh, man. This is my... The bridge in this song is my favorite. I wrote this with a dude named Mikey Reeves and Laura Veltz. You're going to hear a lot of Mikey coming up. He's a brilliant writer. There's nothing that sounds like this, even on my record. There's a lot more stuff that sounds like this on my album, but that one like made me confident as an artist, like putting that out and having people respond to it. It's like that kind of, you always just want something that's like, that's my sound. So that one was really special.
This is the one, though. I'm going to play the one. And first time I heard this, I had Dirks and Marin come play it together, but you wrote this. I don't wanna be I'll Be the Moon.
Yeah.
When Dirks put his record, I said, you have to come in and play this. I don't want to
be a secret. This might be the best song I've ever written.
It's one of the best songs I've heard in years and years.
This is, I have a version of this that I cut that will come out someday. He can be the sun. Yeah, this is a really special one. This happened in like an hour and a half. Me and a couple other writers, and it was like, had nothing except for that drum beat. And the guy was, Matt Drag was playing this drum beat on his computer, and it was like, I don't know. Just everything sort of fell out that day, and I don't know where it came from or why, but that title, I'll Be the Moon, and I was like, how do you write a song called I'll Be the Moon? And it's like, in songwriting, there's always these plays, like opposites. If you see it, it's like a trick we use all the time. But so if you say like up, you say down. And you say sun, you say moon. So I was like, oh man, this could be, I don't know if anyone would ever cut this because of, I mean, it's obviously a song about infidelity. It just felt like the way you write that song though. And I'm just, that's one of the best songs I've ever been a part of.
Yeah,
I'm really proud that Dirks recorded it. And it was really cool to like be sitting next to Marin and her phone lights up just like the song. I'm like, hey, this is Dirks. I got this song. Could be a cool duet idea. And she's like, I bet that's your song. And it was. And it was really just an awesome, awesome thing to be a part of, like such an iconic country stars album with Marin. It was cool.
Well, my friend, I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you for letting me come in, man. This is always a huge honor to get to hang out with you.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is, man.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not a huge honor at all. Ryan and I text and hang out occasionally. This is not an honor. I'm glad you came in. It's early. Yeah, he had his guitar, and I was like, we don't need to play guitar. Let's just talk.
Thank you,
man. Let's just hang out.
No, I love not having to play the guitar.
Good. Well, Ryan Hurd, check out Diamonds Are Twine, and when you get some new music too, whenever that is, come back in. We'll do it again.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much.
All right, there he is, Ryan Hurd. Yeah. The Bobby Bones Show. Thanks to Ryan Hurd for coming by. Download or stream that song, Diamonds Are Twine. Let's go over to Amy now with the Morning Corny. Amy, you're up.
The Morning Corny.
What do you call a cinnamon bun that does well in school?
What do you call a cinnamon bun that does well in school?
Honor roll.
Honor roll. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That was the Morning Corny.
Eat that.
All right, so, oh, boy.
I see what you did there.
I know.
That was funny.
It's like a double, it's like a bonus.
The Bobby Bones Show. Bobby Bones.
We've been doing some type of this bit for years. We've never really had a name for it. You know how sometimes they have those blind items and they tell you a story about a celebrity, but they don't tell you who the celebrity is?
Yeah.
And you kind of, it's just guessing. We have one now that we're going to call Word on the Street.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I had to look down what I wrote.
Okay.
So, and I don't, my thing is, I'm not going to tell who wrote it.
Like, I can't tell who sent this in or submitted it, so it could be any of you.
Oh, so it's about someone on the show?
Yeah, it's always
okay,
about someone
on the
show.
Okay, I like it. I'm blind on about a famous
person. We used to do, like, throwing under the bus.
Yeah, but this is word on the street.
Okay.
Word on the street.
Word on the street. So word on the street is that Lunchbox...
Me.
And his wife are in separate beds.
Ooh.
That's where we know who wrote it.
Oh, Eddie.
Why?
I mean, the biggest reaction in the room. Ooh, the only one that reacted is trying to sell the story.
Yeah, because Lunchbox's wife probably told Eddie's wife, and then Eddie's wife told Eddie.
I mean, how obvious did Eddie make it? Ooh.
Word on the street.
Eddie's like, tell me more.
This is stuff that you hear on the streets.
Yes. Word on the street. Just let me talk about the street. Is that Lunchbox and his wife have different beds right now.
Are you asking for a statement?
Yeah, anything you want to say about that?
That's a true statement.
It is. Wow.
Yeah, that's
a true
statement. One of my dogs hurt her leg, and so she can't go up and down the stairs. So her being my dog, my baby, I sleep downstairs with her.
And your wife's okay with that?
My wife's like, oh, it's kind of weird, but okay, I'm going to go upstairs. And she goes to bed.
Does she like you not being in the bed because she's pregnant? She can have more room?
No, I think she likes it because she sleeps better because my alarm doesn't go off and wake her up, so she sleeps more soundly.
Any chance she hurt the dog?
No.
Oh.
No.
To make him sleep.
No.
Wow. Is that word on the street?
Word on the street.
No, that is not word on the street.
Wow,
that is on the onion.
That would be like wrong.
That would be
wow.
Like I, Tanya. Did you guys watch I, Tanya?
Yeah, no. I saw I, Tanya.
I watched I, Tanya.
Did you like it?
I did. I thought the acting was great.
Yeah, phenomenal.
I thought, you know, who knows how true that is.
Is she behind that?
It's perspective. I don't believe in truth. I only believe in perspective.
Love it.
And so that's just a perspective that I had never seen before. I'd watch all the documentaries.
You didn't? What? It was just like the documentaries.
Not really. It really? Was way from her. And, you know, it really makes you feel bad for Tonya Harding.
That's true.
Really bad for Tonya. Because you're like, she was a disaster because she was raised in a disastrous environment.
Yeah. She fought it the whole time. Like, they were never on her side.
So, but not even that, just how she was brought up. Her mom beat her. Yeah. There's all this stuff happening. So, yeah, I watched I, Tanya. That's pretty good. Amy hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's on my list. Don't ruin it.
Well, she...
It's kind of part of history.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I know what happens. Don't worry.
Her and Kerrigan, they don't work out.
No.
Yeah. But Lunchbox, thanks for filling in word on the street.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Bobby Bones.
Deb, you're on in Boston. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're just hanging out. What about you?
I am actually doing a 3.5-hour commute right now.
Why so long? I would just quit.
Well, I'm a personal assistant, and normally it's 15 minutes, but she has me driving up to one of her properties in Vermont.
Is it Jennifer Lopez? Quit. Oh. I'll quit. Yeah, quit.
Don't quit.
Why?
I don't want to work for J-Lo.
Is it somebody famous?
No, it's not somebody famous.
Are they rich?
We'll just say that they have the means to have a personal assistant.
Yeah, how about that?
And another home in another place.
And she's from Boston? Has to be Tom Brady.
Oh, I think about it. Wait,
Giselle.
Do you work for Gronk? Be honest.
No, if I worked for Gronk, that would be wicked awesome.
Okay. Well, what can I do for you?
I was actually calling to talk to Eddie about Junior's contract, if he's fulfilling his... contract.
That's
on his
a
baseball.
Great question.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
Eddie's our video producer. He has a 10-year-old son, Eddie Jr., who sometimes gets into things and then goes, ooh, I don't want to do this anymore. And you feared that would be what happened with baseball.
Correct. So we drew up a contract.
And the contract said what?
It said that he will not quit. And if he does quit in the middle of the season, he will owe us $100.
Does he have $100?
He has like $300 in savings.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And more than Lunchbox.
Yeah, I know. And he's really proud of that money. So this is a big punishment if he does quit. And he has to practice 5 hours a week.
That's a lot. So has he been fulfilling his contract?
And more. Like, he loves baseball. He practices. He's the one that wants to practice.
Do you think it has to do with the contract, or has he just found something he likes?
For sure, it has to do with the money. Because probably twice every time we're practicing, I say, all right, well, just give me the money and let's just go inside. And he's like, no, we're good. Throw me the ball again.
So does he love baseball then?
I think he does.
No,
you just said it's for the money.
No. The baseball, like, he loves baseball. I mean, I just kind of like the fact that I have the contract to hold over his head and the money. I like that.
Deb, how you feel about this?
Well, I'm kind of on board with Eddie. I have a son who actually, the reason why I'm driving to Vermont and driving back today is because my son tomorrow has 3 baseball games. So, but he's 14 and he's on 2 baseball teams. I like the fact that Eddie's making him stick to the sport as a team sport, and he's not going to quit on the team in the middle of the season.
I like that too, but I think the money thing's a little ridiculous. I think you can teach him.
As a parent, you have to find the one thing that hurts him.
I feel like Eddie's. I feel like.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, if they're into video games, no video games. In this case, he's saved. He's worked hard to save that money, so I'm going to get him
hard.
Yeah,
but this seems a little bit different. I feel like Eddie Jr. is going to be in therapy one day and be like, well.
Dad took all my money.
I wasn't going to get to eat if I didn't practice 10 hours a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, Deb, I appreciate that. Hey, do you work for the New Kids on the Block?
I do not, but I do know where some of their extra houses are out
yeah.
there.
That's cool. Maybe we go on a tour, huh? Well, hey, I appreciate the call. Eddie, thanks for the update.
Yeah, no problem.
And Deb, you have a good, safe trip today.
All right, you guys have a wicked awesome day.
You have a wicked awesome day, too. Appreciate you.
Bobby Bones.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
I got you with this one. A couple of Massachusetts co-workers are bonded for life after one of them donated a kidney to the other. This one dude named Matt was working, and for 10 years, he needed a transplant. So he put up a note at work. It says, hey, I need a kidney. Time's running out. And so another guy there said, let me get tested. It was a match. They didn't even really know each other. He basically saw it up on the bulletin board, guys.
Wow.
And then he gave him a kidney.
Yeah.
And so now they're best friends. You have to be best friends with him forever now, right?
Yeah.
You have to.
I mean, if he says, hey, I'm moving in a week, you have to go get your truck and go help him, right? He gave you a kidney.
Yeah. I know this is Tell Me Something Good, so I don't want to put the stories about how, like, people give kidneys and then sometimes still get divorced.
Like George
weird.
Lopez? Remember you did that?
Yeah, I know.
Well, shout out to Matt Knowles and Ken Pefine. They're all sharing kidneys. Mm-hmm. That's some good news for you right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Get your bones on Bobby Bones Show.
Amy, you have plans for this weekend?
I don't know, like, our Mother's Day plans at all, but I assume the kids and the husband are up to something. Ooh. But
here's the thing, Aim. That assuming gets you in trouble.
Oh, well, I'm not supposed to plan my own Mother's Day.
No, I know, but if you assume it's going to be awesome, ooh. Because I always feel like that about my birthday. It never is.
I thought this year you liked it.
I'm just kidding. Oh. I'm just kidding.
That's sad.
We showed up at your house and surprised you, and we only stayed for 10 minutes. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Now, if you think they're going to do something, they probably will. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go halvesies with you. Like, I'll assume they're going to do something. I just won't assume it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Okay.
I'm flying. I'm in Toronto right now, Canada. I'm going to fly. I have a show in Beaumont tonight. In a show in New Orleans tomorrow night.
I mean, so I'm really. What? You're flying to the other end of the world, basically.
Well, kind
Canada
of.
Canada to Beaumont.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing this weekend. 10 o'clock this morning, tickets to my Red Hoodie tour go on sale for other markets like Boston and Bakersfield, a lot of places, but get them at BobbyBonesComedy.com. But Lunchbox, what are you doing this weekend?
Man, I got no plans, really. Just hanging out with the wife, nothing exciting.
But that's probably exciting because she's getting more pregnant. Which, by the way, Lunchbox has been wrong this entire time about when his baby was being born. Did you guys know this?
No.
It's not August 29th?
No. It is August 29th, but I am an idiot and I must be terrible at math because I kept telling people, yeah, I got 4.5 months. It's August 29th. That's only 3.5 months away. So I just lost 30 days off my calendar. So I got to get on it.
You're going to have a baby in August. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That really is crazy. He's going to be a dad.
Yeah, his life's going to change.
Yeah.
In 30 days.
We put up these polls this week.
Question one.
Is it called a button up or button down? 64% of people agree with Lunchbox and I and said button up.
Boo. Smart people.
Boo, boo, boo.
Is it creepy that producer Ray works out at a kid's playground?
100%. Yes.
68% said, no, it's not creepy.
Yeah. Oh. Whoa.
Yeah. He fought
I told
for that
you
one.
Guys.
Here's one. Have you ever dined and dashed in your life before?
Oh, this one's going to be good.
92% of people said no way.
Yeah. Oh,
that's good.
A lot
that
of dishonest
story,
people.
Though, was so funny to me where the guy would set up dates on Bumble, order all this food, and then say, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and then just not come back, and the girl was stuck with it. Like, that's wrong. It is.
But...
And it's not really a dine and dash because somebody's paying for the bill.
Yeah, he's dashing on her.
That's true, but that's level one. But I got to be honest. Mike D and I yesterday were doing some work, and I was still talking about that story, laughing out loud.
Oh, my.
So, but I've never dined and dashed. I put an Instagram up at iHeart Country Festival,
and I was doing like the Superman pose, and there were 1,000 comments on it. And you saw, I didn't have a shirt on, but you saw like the middle.
It was like unbuttoned.
Yeah, but you do see my nipples. And so here are some comments. It's almost a that's rude. Ariel says, tiny nipples, man, tiny nipples. Crystal says, you have a very white bird chest. Mm. Tyler says, you look like a 15-year-old boy at his first prom. Anyway, there we go.
Oh, man, 15?
You know what's amazing is people post these pictures on Instagram where they're shirtless or in a bikini, and they get so many likes. And then here we are going, don't be so into yourself. But then if it's getting all these likes, why not? Right?
That's good philosophy, yeah. If you're going to get likes, people want to see it. That means put
right?
it up
I mean,
there.
Aren't people liking it if they're liking it?
Well, yeah, yes.
Because be honest, Amy, when you saw that picture of me opening my shirt, did you think it was kind of douchey?
Yeah.
Way to not hold back.
Yeah. No, I said be honest.
He's asking. I mean, no, but I know that you're just playing around. If you, okay, here's if I didn't know you and I knew nothing about you, I might be like, okay, yeah, it's sort of douchey. What is he doing? But because I know you, you're just being like, oh, hey, ladies, look at me. Like, you're not really serious. And you can, you know that some of those, like, well, that's rude comments are coming, but you just laugh them off.
Yeah.
I also see, I'm looking at it now, and I also see some, dang, Bobby. And also, one of my favorites, you need to eat a cheeseburger or 5. I hate when people do that.
Oh, I'm getting crushed for being skinny right now.
Yeah.
Getting crushed. These are the top 10 things men supposedly notice first about women. And in order. Number one is eyes.
Lie.
I do think that's a lie.
That's a lie.
I'm just being honest. And Lunchbox and I are completely different kinds of guys. But God, we're very visual.
Yeah.
Men are very visual.
And we're not looking in their eyes first.
Eyes are something
don't you
could
start
see.
At the eyes?
Yeah,
and
we
go.
Do. But eyes are visual. Yeah.
I start at everyone's eyes. And if we're like noticing things about a woman, I don't think guys, as the number one thing, go, wow, what a great set of eyes.
Yeah, when I'm at a bar and I look across the room, I'm not going, oh, man, look at those eyes. Let me go look at it. Let me go talk to him. No. That's not
Eddie, have you ever called your buddy and been like, yeah, dude, she's hot. Do you see her eyes?
No, but the only thing I'm saying is that it starts in the eyes and then you start checking everything else.
Okay, yeah. So what's first?
Eyes.
I mean, in real world.
Body.
Face.
That's
like face
eyes,
as a
bones.
Whole, like pretty face.
Okay, so it's just how the eyes go with the nose and the cheeks and the mouth.
Yeah, it's the whole thing. It's like, you look at their face. I look at their face first. Lunchbox, what do you look at?
Oh, body. Oh, yeah. You know, the mountain region.
The mountain range?
Yep.
Wait, what's the...
Who is this guy?
The mountain region.
Oh, gosh, I can't wait till he's a dad.
Oh, yeah. And he has his girl.
Please let it be a girl.
Please let him have a daughter.
Please.
Hey, like, dear Jesus, we don't talk to you through the microphone a lot. But if you are listening to the show right now, Jesus, please give Lunchbox a little girl.
Please, we're begging you.
Like, I don't ask for a lot.
Mountain ranges and all.
Yes. Eddie, what's the first thing?
I'm going with eyes, dude.
Eddie, come on.
I'm
not fake. I'm telling you, it starts with the eyes, and then I'll check everything else.
His wife does have beautiful eyes.
Radio Eddie. We're going to call him Fake Radio Eddie.
No. Have you ever heard Eddie come up to you and be like, dude, did you see that girl's eyes?
No. Eddie doesn't say, dude, did you see that girl?
Yes, he does.
Bones, did you see that girl's eyes?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, what's
next on the list? Bones, did you see that girl's eyes?
I mean, Eddie's never texted me and goes, check out the retinas on that, babe.
And I texted you, check out the mountain range on that girl?
No.
Exactly.
I just think you say stuff on the radio to be like perceived
what about
a certain
pupils?
Way.
Have you ever said anything about pupils, Eddie?
No.
Okay. And let me guess, next Eddie's going to be like, oh, I check out hair second. Oh, look at that hair.
No.
What's that?
Number two is style. And I got to tell you, I look at shoes on a woman, but I don't know that I package up style in the top three or four.
Okay.
Number three is body. Number four is boobs. Number five is hair.
Hmm.
I'm surprised butt's not a pirate.
Yeah, that would be my number two.
I'm a butt guy.
Eddie goes from the eyes to the butt.
I mean,
the real Eddie.
Everything.
Yeah. In top three for me, it goes face, stomach, butt.
Hmm.
Lunchbox?
Boobs, butt, face.
Oh, my goodness.
Boobs, butt, hair.
What is this?
Wait.
Well,
is
hey, Amy,
anybody
to be...
saying her mind?
No.
No, that's not
no,
what
Eddie
you notice
will.
First.
No.
That takes time.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot.
Amy,
this
and to be
was...
fair, we did a whole segment last week about things women notice on men with their body.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Fair play.
Fair play. Fair play. You're right. And you're. I forgot this was first impression, so
yeah.
You don't know the mind yet.
And we go over to Eddie. I go, eyes, and then
ears.
I'm going to go, thumbs, and then elbows.
No.
Yeah, that's how
I'm telling you.
Buddy, you used to check out girls' knees. Don't even
weird.
Lie.
No, he just said Haley Scarnato had chubby knees.
No. First of all.
Why would you look at knees?
She was on American Idol. That's her name if you want to look her up.
Whatever.
Yeah. Bobby Bones. Show.
Lunchbox and Eddie are always fighting. Here is some recorded footage from after the show. Here we go.
Okay, I'm sorry if you think I'm mad at you. I'm just trying to get something done here. You think I'm mad?
Well, you're bringing it all me saying I have final decision and like
I'm asking you a question you didn't answer.
No, you didn't ask a single question.
Yes, I did.
What'd you say?
What do you think about Jock and
what?
Now you asked a question.
What do you think about Jock and
like
okay, that's it.
Now finally you asked a question.
I've offered them a sports podcast on my podcast network, and I guess they're fighting over it. Is that what it is?
No, here's what happened. We were trying to come up with a name, and Eddie said a name out loud, and Ray and I said nothing. But who does he yell at? He yells at me for not responding, and he doesn't get mad at Ray. There's two people sitting in the room,
and no
one said either anything. And he goes, Lunch, why don't you answer?
Oh, he's mad again. Okay, relax.
Is this a taste of the podcast?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, no, that's not the
I don't know if I can put this on the air.
No, I'm like,
gonna be fighting the whole time.
Man, like, why are you
Ray, did you record that secretly?
Yeah.
Did you guys know that was recorded?
No.
Of course not.
Bobby, who's the sports, like, expert on the podcast?
What do you mean
Lunchbox
expert?
Lunchbox or Ray?
Not Eddie.
Right.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah. What do you do in video?
Wow.
Oh.
That's funny. Amy. When are we launching this thing? Do we know?
No.
We don't know?
Like, we got to stop fighting
did
first.
Did you pick a name for it?
That's what we were fighting about, the name.
Did you pick one? They pick one?
Yes, we picked one.
Is it the Sore Losers?
Yes. What do you think? What do you think?
That's cute.
The Sore Losers Sports Show?
Yeah, I like it.
Because we're not winners, obviously.
Yeah, no.
None of us made it in sports.
Yeah. Okay, right. No,
so there's
I like that.
That's what happens after the show.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So the dog that played Toto in The Wizard of Oz was paid $125 a week. And now this was a long time ago. And just to put that in perspective, that this was the dog getting paid, you know, the little munchkins on the movie, the dog was paid more than them.
Wow.
Yes. More than
how many
of
dogs?
Them.
Was there just one dog?
To my knowledge, there was just one dog.
Wow. They got paid more than those are humans.
Yeah, they got paid the dog, Toto. But if you think about it, Toto is a pretty big, important part of the movie.
Yeah, he's also a dog.
I know.
You know, if you think about it, he's also a dog. Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder what that would translate to today, like $120 a week.
Because that was 1939.
Yeah, so probably like $1 million.
Can someone calculate that, please?
Yeah, Mike D has calculated it.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mike D.
The answer is $2,000 a week.
Wow.
Huh. How about that, Toto? All right, what else?
Okay, so I have a big turnoff for women. And guys, if you're looking for a girl to settle down with, she is not going to be attracted to you driving a flashy car.
Oh, yeah? Lunchbox thinks if you drive a Corvette or Camaro, you get all the chicks.
Or a Lambo. The chicks love cars. That is just a fake survey.
Now, Bobby, when you were driving the yellow Camaro
he got a lot
around
of looks.
Austin, where did you meet a girl?
Amy, I hated driving that thing. I was embarrassed for me. I knew that it was a woman repellent.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to pull up to a woman who needed help, if she were getting mugged, she would say, no, thank you. I'll take someone in not a douchey car. So, I really felt ridiculous.
Okay, well, quickly, research just found that both men and women perceive guys who display their wealth in such a manner. They're just more interested in flings and not finding a life partner.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see that with the yellow. What was I driving, a Corvette?
No,
Camaro.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like it. What else?
Okay, so scientists in England, they were messing around with this experimental drug to help people strengthen their bones, and they found that they may have a cure for balding on their hands.
How about that?
Problem is, right now, they have realized that it does block a chemical in the body that kills off the growth of the hair. So, you know, they just need more volunteers to help test it out.
Why are you looking at Eddie right now?
I guess I have nothing to lose.
Hey, you know that Viagra wasn't originally meant as a penis pill, right?
No, it was like for heart or something.
So the same way, a lot of the great discoveries have been accidentally found as they were pursuing something else.
Yeah, they stumble upon the miracle part of it.
So Viagra was to lower your blood pressure.
Oh, okay.
And then it found as they were lowering the blood pressure, it was raising.
Wow.
That's funny, Bones.
And you know Botox? So that, you know, you squirt in your head or you put whatever you do to it. But
inject.
It's also used by people to do fix migraines.
Yes. Oh. I have a couple of friends that get it done, and it's like it works wonders. And they get it done not even in like the vanity parts where you would think, like just where the wrinkles are. They get it like all throughout their head, and it does. It prevents the migraines.
Well, why do people get Botox in their armpits?
Oh, because it also, another thing they discovered from it is that it tightens the sweat glands or something, or prevents you from sweating. But I have a problem with that because, like, you're supposed to sweat, you know?
Well, you're supposed to also age, Amy, to be fair.
No.
You're supposed to grow hair.
No.
Yes.
No, you are.
All good points, guys.
Yes.
I just feel like sweating helps release toxins, and I want to be able to release the toxins, but I definitely also don't want wrinkles, so I don't know. I can't make up my mind.
There you go. There's Amy's pile.
Yep.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah!
Bobby Bones
Show.
We've talked about kids and cell phones for a while, but Amy has an 11-year-old daughter. She wants a cell phone now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what age is appropriate to get kids cell phones because she told me some kids in her class have cell phones.
What? I don't think there's a right answer. I think it's just every kid's different.
Well, yeah. These kids, like in particular, their family, they don't have transportation. So a lot of times they're using buses or different things to get around, and they want to make sure they're always able to be in contact. But all my daughter sees is that they've got a phone.
So she's asking you for a phone. What does she say?
She's like, when can I get a phone? And we're like, oh, well, you're not old enough to have a phone yet. But then there's been times where we've left her home alone for a little bit. If we're just going to the grocery store down the street or somewhere in our neighborhood and she doesn't want to go, she's 11 now. Like, we've let her stay there and watch Netflix or whatever. So we leave kids Netflix. And and I've wanted to like be able to FaceTime her and just be like, how are you? So it'd be cool if she had some way I could do that. So I just don't know what age is cool to have very limited access on some sort of device.
Well, it sounds like if you wanted to have FaceTime, that you wanted to have the bells and whistles.
Oh, do you?
Because FaceTime's not part of a flip phone with just limited controls.
Maybe there's some kiddie version of this out there. I mean, I don't know. I learned about this new kiddie smartwatch.
Why can't you just give her a phone and implement rules with her, much like you do an iPad?
Yeah.
I mean, she has an iPad.
I guess we could. It's an Amazon Fire tablet.
Oh.
It's different.
Is it?
It is. Mm-hmm. And it's a kid's. It's all kids. But sometimes she does access my Amazon account somehow and buys things. But luckily, Amazon understands.
I'm more of a free-range guy myself.
Mm.
I was free-range kidded.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I mean, she's not. I'm not ready for her to have Instagram or anything yet. But I know when the time comes, like, I'll be cool with it. I'm not anti her having a phone. I get it. But not
Should
to
Amy's
just
daughter have a phone right now, age 11. Let's go around the room. Lunchbox?
Absolutely not.
No, you
no.
said.
No. She's not going too far where she needs to call you. You know where she's at all times.
Eddie, you're a dad of two. Producer Eddie, what do you have?
No chance.
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
Nope. Not until she's 18.
Oh, my goodness.
A phone? I had a pager like in junior high.
Listen, I think if it gets to you need to talk to her at times and you're realizing, oh, I wish I could talk. I think, yeah, you can get her phone. I really do.
Okay, yeah.
It's just different now.
I think she would treat it differently. And then my sister sometimes is trying to get a hold of her to talk, or, you know, my best friend Mary, who's really close to my daughter. Sometimes she's like, oh, I wish I could just call her. And I know there's people that love her and care about her that could talk to her. And these are important women in her life.
It can also be a good teaching device.
Yeah.
And you can take it away from her. It's always something you can take
away. Oh, I love having something good to take away.
Yeah, I mean, really. I'm just not against it.
I'm already threatening to take away that watch.
All right, you just bought her a birthday watch. Raymond, how do you feel about this?
I had a cell phone in ninth grade, so.
But that's 16.
That's not 11.
Let her get through middle school. I think same rules apply.
So you say 16?
Yeah, I should have never. Nobody had cell phones.
So he's saying no phone right now.
Baby, you're also 30.
I know, but it still applied. There were cell phones.
Wow, does
Morgan number two? You're 24.
I think she should.
Yeah, us young ones think.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Oh,
us millennials.
Oh, okay.
How old are you,
Bones? I'm just age. Yeah.
The Bobby Bones Show.
That's a wrap for us. Amy, I hope your first ever Mother's Day is awesome.
Thank you.
Let us know Monday what you do.
I will.
Eddie's taking his kids out to watch Black Panther, huh?
I am. This is a big deal for us. They've been wanting to go, and I've been hesitant about it, so let's see how that goes.
So can you not download it yet?
No, it's still at the movie theater, and my son loves the movies, so we're taking both kids. Mm.
So even if it were to be downloaded, you want to go see the theater?
Yes, because we love that experience, Bones. I know you're going to say theaters are done with, but we love that experience.
Cool. Some people love the drive-in experience.
That's cool, too.
Yeah, but not enough people are going to love it for a long time. Theaters aren't going to be around in 10 years like they are today. Everybody wants it at home. That's just one man's opinion.
Yeah, you keep saying that.
So let us know how that goes. I think your kids will be fine. They say a couple bad words.
Okay.
My kids saw it. You're good.
Yeah. It's right, Mike D? Would you agree? They'll be fine.
Because the only other movie that they've seen that isn't a cartoon is that Hidden Figures movie, and there was no violence, no bad language or anything on that.
You can buy it on iTunes.
Oh, I can?
Mm-hmm. $19.99.
Okay. Well, let me offer that as an option. $19.99? Nah, I'll go to the movies.
Well, by the time you go to the movies, you buy three tickets and food and gas and time.
Oh, dang, you're right.
I'm just saying. I still got to watch Eddie's movie. I did download it. It's called...
Yeah, you're going with Only the Brave?
Only the Brave, okay. Yeah. Still have to download that. I don't want to watch it on the airplane, though, because I don't want to cry next to somebody. And I'm going to fly from here down...
Let's watch it together.
I can't watch that movie. I can't cry in front of you guys.
Why?
I forgot to tell you.
What?
I almost cried yesterday. I was speaking, and they ran my Radio Hall of Fame video that you narrated.
Oh, really?
And it kind of made me emotional again, like it did the first time.
Yeah, that's special.
It is special to me because you guys hid it from me, and all of a sudden Amy's talking, and it's a video of my hometown in Mountain Pine, Arkansas, and Amy's like, I don't know, I just got hot eyes even yesterday watching that video. That's one of the weird, rare things that's really affected me in the past few months. So
maybe
you just
watch that over and over.
Listen, I'm so over me. Between this book and this show and this, I'm so over me. I'm ready for this book tour to be over, and I don't have to talk about me anymore. So
yeah, until the next thing comes up. It's the nature of your job is you. So.
I know, but man, I've had so much of it. Like the tank's full.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay, well, we can take a little you vacation.
I need that. I'm leaving here. About to leave. I got to go. But Lunchbox, what are you doing this weekend?
Just rocking and rolling, hanging out with the wife.
All right. There you heard it. We'll see you guys Monday. Appreciate you. If you're going to buy tickets to my comedy tour, they go on sale at 10 a.m. BobbyBonesComedy.com, doing some shows. We put some more shows online. So we'll see you guys soon, and we'll catch you Monday. Bye, everybody.
Bobby Bones.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people,
It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.